This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Last minute winners or stoppage time winners is nothing better, and what a feeling with the away end we had today as well. Going 1-0 down is a great feeling, and obviously me scoring it as well was unbelievable. To be honest with me, I think that's the biggest part of the game, what he did there. Is I think it's just as important as my header scoring the winner. That clearance was unbelievable. I thought the guy had a really good header, flick back, he was going in and he came out of nowhere. I didn't even see him come out of nowhere and just bicycle kicked it away, and that today got us the 3 points, I think.
As far as grabbing the headlines go, Ollie Hawkins' swooping header at the death is what defined the scoreline. But in reality, a number of factors contributed as the Stags ran out 2-1 winners at Crewe at the weekend. Having gone a goal down despite dominating the game, Nigel Clough knew it was law to spark a comeback with so many travelling fans watching on. A superb pass from Jason Law, followed by a pinpoint tackle, hold and give, proved to be the key. But we can't not mention Elliot Hewitt's heroic bicycle kick to prevent a late equaliser either. Tonight we'll delve into what we think was the ultimate decider, as we also talk lights on or lights off, Friday night football and much, much more, including, as ever, your comments, questions and opinions in the live feed. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the podcast which follows the club who regularly give us heart attacks. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because heart attacks always matter. The Stags left it late on Saturday at Crewe, but got the 3 points they so, so wanted. Can you just turn that down a little bit, please, Clive? If you don't mind, I can hear myself coming back. I think you have the volume on slightly. Thank you very much. As you can see, I've got Clive, Alan and Nathan with me, back in the room again. It's becoming more of a regular thing now, this again, isn't it? This, do you know what, Nate? This feels so 2018?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was mainly my idea, and have you noticed that our form's had an upturn since we...
Oh, here we go. We're not even...
I'm on fire this season.
4 minutes in, and we've Nathan's gone right.
I'm into that, then. Yeah. I'm into that, Nathan.
Yeah, well done. Me and Al.
To be fair, that's it. When it used to be like this, I used to come and pick you up, so I don't have to... Or take you back now.
Yeah, but now I don't get my nose on the way back, so I'm
in the
bit lost.
Well, you'll have to have a word, won't you? You'll have to have a word. Well, shocking. Me and Nathan used to have to, we used to have like date night, and we used to, used to go to McDonald's and take it in turns in paying and stuff. Or every week, it was my week, it always seemed to be KFC that we used to go to, which was, I don't know why, it was never my choice, and then more expensive. And that obviously stopped, and now Nathan's moaning that he doesn't get it with you. So
it's almost just tuned in.
I know.
He's never mentioned it.
And well, there you go. I suppose we should talk Mansfield Town, really, shouldn't we? Go off on a tangent. 3 minutes in, it's all good. As always, come and have your say on your team. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Get involved in the comments, and I'll squint towards the screen to try and read them. Because Clive, what we did was we said we need somebody who can be on the screen to look at the comments, and whose job it specifically is to read those comments. We even sing him live jingles, and he just buggers off to Asda.
Are we talking about one job Fenton here?
Fenton, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fenton. One job Fenton. That's his new, that's his new nickname. It's his new nickname, bless him. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Yes, we are. So we'll be all. Nathan's closest to the screen. He has kindly volunteered to read the comments. So Nathan, so it's comments with Nate. Comments with Nate. Comments with Nate.
Comment: Roger King says Nathan Edge, what a legend. Oh, cheers, Roger.
I mean, you've got the person right. To be fair.
Do we have to say
that house might be coming into disrepute now, mightn't it? But there you go. Right. Don't tell him.
I agree.
Don't tell him. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Roger does actually say, I couldn't quite believe it on Saturday as I thought Stags were heading for a defeat. It's a funny old game. And let's start with that, Alan. It is a funny old game, isn't it? Because me and Clive were sat in the stands together and we were saying, you know what, for all this possession, for all this dominance of midfield, we'll lose this 1-0. And what happened after we said that? They scored.
After 70 minutes, we ended as well. Mm. Or was it 72? I thought it was 70, but never mind. I'm not splitting ears. We were all over. I was listening to it on iFollow. We were all over them like a rash, and then we just, you know, and when they scored, you just thought, oh, heart sank a bit. And then obviously, with the gentleman tying his boots for us, bless him.
Oh yeah,
the subs came on and did the bit.
Oh,
what else can you say? It serves them right.
It certainly does. And, you know, we were sort of saying, weren't we? We were debating about how long would go. I think we were all surprised a little bit when 8 minutes went up, Clive, weren't we?
Well, actually, I've got to give credit to the officials for putting 8 minutes up, because they don't normally take into account all the time wasting that clubs do. But it was so blatant. I mean, the guy doing his laces took a full 2 minutes to do them.
He's still doing them, isn't
he? I think he is, mate. Yeah, I think he is.
He needs some Velcro, he does. He's clearly struggling.
So there was an awful lot of poetic justice, I thought.
Yeah, there certainly was. And Nath, you know, Ollie Hawkins said it in his post-match interview, when you come from behind and end up scoring in the last minute winners are always great, especially when there's a good following, as there was at Crewe. It's one of those stands, isn't it, Crewe away, which runs the length of the pitch. Lovely away. And I actually quite like enjoy going there, because you can get a decent enough view. We pretty much had halfway line. It's quite closed in as well, so the noise levels magnify as well. And I think we made the most of it, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, I was saying to Alan in the car, it's like, you know, the game was frustrating towards, you know, you kind of knew that goal was coming for them because of how we dominated but didn't put one away. But I think if you could choose to go behind, if you knew you was going to go behind and win in that fashion, I think I'd rather that than just a 1-0 win, to be honest, because the emotions you go through, a bit of a rollercoaster for the last, 20 minutes hard. It's that's what football is, isn't it? And I think with a great following, I think it was the highest in League One and League Two. I'm going on Clive's stats there. So.
Yeah, but a long way clear of the second best in our league.
Yeah, so, you know, to do that in front of fans like that, in that atmosphere, just tops it off, really.
I'm not sure I'd want to go through that every week, though, Alan, going behind and then scoring in the last minute wins. I don't think my heart could take it. I mean, it was bad enough last season when, you know, we're having to describe the action on air and then trying to contain your emotions, but when you're in the away end and, you know, you're surrounded by all the atmosphere, it does captivate you.
I'm going to say, I think all the neighbours, probably full street, heard me shout when the second one went in. But what about Elliot Hewitt?
Yeah,
that bicycle kick clearance, that was unreal.
Yeah, it certainly was. I've got a number of bullet points written down to talk about for the Crewe game, Clive, and one of them in itself is Elliot Hewitt's bicycle kick. He has been thrown under the bus under a number of occasions by Nigel Clough, but to give Clough his credit, he came out and said, you know what, that bicycle kick, that clearance, was more important than Ollie Hawkins' goal.
Yeah, and Ollie Hawkins said the same thing. He said that was as important as his goal, and it was, because it prevented them getting an equaliser and me getting my 2-2 draw forecast. But I'm glad I didn't get it. I'd rather have the points. But it was a cracking piece of football. He had a good game as well. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. He'd played well all through the game, I thought.
Yeah, starting to come into his own a little bit now, isn't he, Nathan? I think you can sort of see his passion for the club and throwing himself on the line now. He's really starting to grow.
Yeah, it's been like that. I think it's been pretty consistent now for you know, a good 6 months at least. You know, he had that shaky start with us when we know he got torn apart against Bradford that game with his mate that he didn't want to tackle. But after a little bit of time, I forget a little bit of time out of the team as well, he sort of fought his way back in. And for me, he used to be a name on the team sheet that I used to sort of dread at one point, but now I'm quite happy to see on that. You know, I think we've got trust in him as majority of fans, and I think the players do as well. So he does fit in nicely back there.
He's becoming a real firm favourite, isn't he, Alan?
He is, with the rest of them. I just call him Triple H. Hewitt, Harbottle and Hawkins are doing rather well. I think just Triple H, you know, that's my bit of a signature tune for them now, Triple H. But it is the three at the back, which I don't like, but it seems to be working.
We did.
So while ever it's working, Craig, just leave it.
I mean, we did say, didn't we? You know, for weeks we had this debate. I said I quite liked it if it works well. And if you play the right people.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit concerned that we weren't playing the back three. And I have to say, as much as I'm a fan of Jonjo O'Toole, I think he's a real good player for the team. Said it on a number of occasions. I think we said it, didn't we, on Friday when we did the little pre-record. He doesn't suit a back three. And this Triple H, as you've now dubbed them, they look a very solid, very tight back three. They work well with each other. They understand each other. And it just bounces off each other well.
It's like we've said before, especially you, when you said, you know, Perch can only play one side, or he's better one side, or O'Toole's better the other side. Them three just seem to gel. You know, whether they've found their right position, you know, they prefer to play with Hawkins in the centre and one either side, I'm not sure. But, you know, it just seems to work, and long may it continue.
Let's delve into some comments. Clive's got them in front of him.
Yeah, there's not... Not many people think it was a bad result. Most people thought it was a good result looking at this.
You'd hope so. 3 points on the board, you'd hope so.
Roger says crew got what they deserved with their gamesmanship. Absolutely, we've already said that. Adam says, I like the Hewitt Harbottle in my back three. The third, jury is out. So he's not quite as sure about Hewitt. So I'm not sure. I think you're right with the three. I think what I like about that three, by the way, is that Harbottle is so mobile.
Mm.
And Hewitt's very, very methodical and very tight. And, of course, anything coming down out the gods, we've got the man for that job in the middle anyway, because he doesn't miss much that's in the air. His weakness is when it gets behind him. Well, these other two are picking that up.
And they can both run out with the ball, and they're very comfortable on the ball, aren't they? I mean, obviously, one's at Forest, under 23, he's nearly been taught that. But Hewitt, he's not frightened to take a man on, and he's quite sharp as well.
And what I really like at the minute, Nathan, is the fact that Kel Gordon's finally getting some game time. Now, I did think, for a proportion of the game, that our delivery from wide areas was nowhere near good enough, nor was it from set pieces, but the fact that Kel Gordon's on the right-hand side, I think it gives Hewitt a little bit more freedom as well. And I think the longer that it goes on with the Triple H, as Alan called it, as the central defensive three, with Gordon at right-back, I think we will start to stretch teams a lot more. And then we almost sort of flip between dropping into a four, dropping into a five, and really controlling and dominating on the halfway line.
Yeah, I mean, the system we play at the moment does suit Gordon, which is kind of what we wanted him to get back into the team, and it looks like he's now got his chance and he's keeping his place. So that's you know, credit to him for doing that. But I remember last year, it seemed to be a lot of our goals or attacks were going down the left with Quinn and McLaughlin. That wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, they were on fire for portions of the season, but we didn't have that much threat down the right, so it wasn't difficult for teams to necessarily figure us out. But I think this time, even if you know, Gordon's end product might not always be on point every single time, we've got a threat to go either side. So, you know, we've always got that. Gives the opposition something different to think about. And although you might not have the perfect you know, crossing every single time, you know, one out of so many are going to reach a man, and it's just up to them in the box then to put it away. And that was probably our issue that wasn't our only issue on Saturday, because obviously, like I say, the deliveries weren't really there. But when we do start hitting a bit of goal-scoring form with our strikers, you know, you'd like to think that the more those balls that go in there, the more they're going to be players bouncing.
Let's talk Stephen Quinn for a second, Clive. He got his opportunity on Saturday, obviously, with Anthony Hartigan being out. Nathan mentioned it there last season. A lot of the time, we did play down the left-hand side with McLaughlin and Quinn. Obviously, it was more of a flat-back four then, with a more expansive midfield. with the five, I think that Quinn can sometimes get a little bit lost. I thought we saw that a lot on Saturday. And when we were talking about, you know, the balls from wide areas not being good enough, I actually felt a lot of that was McLaughlin and Quinn sort of getting in each other's way, not quite understanding the slight tweak in positional play from going from a flat back four to playing with the two wing backs.
I think you're right. It looks like a bit of a misunderstanding half the time. They're both good players and they both work well together in the right format. But I don't think McLaughlin's on his best form. He hasn't been for a while, I don't think. And Quinn, well, clearly he needs to be instrumental when he's on the pitch. He's no good just trying to be a playmaker. He has to force things through. And he's a tenacious player, and that's why he gets so many cautions. And in fact, he got one, didn't he, on Saturday, which ultimately meant that he needed to be taken off. And I think he'd run out of energy anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that's Quinn now, isn't it? He's a 60-minute man.
Yeah.
But you'd want him in your squad anytime.
Mm. You saw his passion at full time, and you can still see how, you know, it was very, very hacked off when he was taken off. I think he felt that he'd not contributed enough and not given enough to the game. But in actual fact, the substitution that we made was the substitution which eventually led to us, you know, going on and get there. I think a lot of people perhaps saw Kieran Wallace coming on, Alan, as a little bit of a negative, but I think we'll talk more about Jason Law and giving him the plaudits as well. But Kieran Wallace is another one of those players that people perceive as a negative substitution. But actually, you look at the way he plays, he can sit deep. He'll play first, second time passes. He spreads the ball well. And you look at that winning goal, gets into a really good area to spread it wide to McLaughlin, then drops off to allow some space for McLaughlin to knock the ball back to him and whips in a delicious ball. And I think he deserves a lot more credit than he gets. And I think over the season, especially that now that Boateng and Hartigan are both missing, this is Wallace's time to say, this is my shirt. I just hope that when he plays, he untucks it.
Yeah, well, two points there. First of all, I slightly disagree with Clive on McLaughlin's form. I think he's doing all right. I think he's doing okay. He's surging forward like Hewitt does. And more often than not, you know, he can beat a man, McLaughlin. But as regards to the other chap who came on, who gave the winning cross to Hawkins, Wallace, and I thought, you know, should Law come on? But, I mean, I'm not the gaffer. Nigel knows what he's doing. He knows the positions that he wants him to play in. And like you said, when he's in the correct position, he can play that first-time pass. And he's quite physical, but sometimes he gets over-physical. So that's what he's got to be careful of.
Yeah, needs a few minutes. But if you look at, you know, the players, we're talking about McLaughlin, Nath. If McLaughlin was to be suspended or injured to try and fit in that system, he'll put Bowery there because that's Nigel's go-to thing, put Bowery or Aikens at wing-back. But actually, you've probably got two tailor-made players in Law and Wallace to play in that position. Although, personally, I prefer Law in the more of the lapse, the advance role. But you've still got the two options there.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Law first came onto the scene, he was playing wing-back, wasn't he?
Mm.
So we do know he can go in that role. But just, you know, whilst we're on Law, first of all, absolutely chuffed for him, because I mean, what a comeback that is to come and do that after being out for a little bit and getting a go in the team. But we talk about Quinn there. You're saying he's probably only got 60 minutes in the tank, but for me, it could be a matter of Quinn or Law for me. That those two are the ones that can be replacing each other. Whether even if Law starts, Quinn's come on 30 minutes left or whatever. To put his foot on the ball, calm it down, and do what he has to do. And you've got Law there, who hopefully will take a lot of confidence out of Saturday. We know he likes to try and put those forward balls in that he does so well. It's going to be, for me, you've got to have a Swan or Oakes on the pitch to get the best out of Law. But I hope he's going to get a real good shot at it now, because he's, you know, made a big difference.
Yeah, he's a very good player as well. Lovely lad off the pitch as well. I had the pleasure of working with him a couple of times previously. Really nice lad. And technically as well, the longest serving player at the club. So snap quiz time. Can you name the number of managers that Law has served under? Don't name them. Just give me a number and let's see who's right. I'll start with Alan, then go Clive, then Nathan, and then we'll go with who's closest.
I would guess at eight.
Clive.
Six.
Nathan.
Five.
Okay, right. Let's have a little guess then, Alan. Go for your name. Your eight. Oh,
you said you didn't want me to name them. Dempster.
Coughlin.
Obviously.
Well, don't up him out. Don't up him out. It's a competition.
Dempster, Coughlin, Clough. Who was the others? Hold on.
Don't help him. Stop helping him.
I'm struggling here. I've got a brain freeze now.
That,
well, you can carry on now. These two can carry on.
Well, I can take eight's wrong.
Yeah, well,
but you beat her up there.
Play.
What did you said six? Yeah. Nathan said five.
I said five. But one
of you's right.
One, so
one of you's right. Clive's right. Yeah, yeah. It is six.
It's
right.
Flitcroft, come on, then. Murray.
Yeah.
Evans.
Murray, Evans, Flitcroft, Coughlin, and Dempster, Coughlin, Clough.
What about the interim manager for Clough?
And Richard Cooper, technically, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. So I suppose you could have seven. Yeah.
Good question.
Anyway, thanks.
Can I just say that
somebody else done it as well for eight?
Yeah.
Get back to the pure football for a second. The line's hot at the moment. People
go on. Yeah, go for
Pedro
it.
Pedro says, "What on earth is in the snack tub? It looks like it looks like."
I was saving that. I'd seen that.
Like
saving it.
Or massive slice. Alan. Donor meat.
Alan, can we have a can I have your improv? Can I have the original improvised biscuit jingle, please? The original. Oh, no. The original. May I have the original.
No,
I forgot that.
Yeah,
I thought you were on about these and say these are fruity flapjacks.
No, nice. Can you not remember the original?
Not the original.
Can you remember the current? You know the current one.
Vaguely.
Go on, give us the current one. Come on, you're here now. Come on. The people, have asked. The people want to know. The people want to know.
Give him a minute.
Oh,
there's some responses from our fans here.
Well, okay, well, we'll let the guesses come in then, and I'll reveal the answer, and then Alan can do the jingle. And I'll tell you what the original was lately.
Kerry Lou says she ranks as gingerbread men and cookies.
Close.
and somebody says that's a great shout. Well, I don't think they're anywhere near right.
I don't know. Well, then there's
gingerbread men, yes.
Well, I don't know if we, yeah. Well, have you remembered it yet?
I mean, there's no donut.
It's. If you've got a favourite biscuit, tell me now. If you've got a favourite biscuit, tell me now. Custard cream or digest? No, bourbon or digest? Oh, what was it? Oh, I can't remember. Favorite biscuit? Yeah, it was bourbon. It was some custard cream or Jaffa, bourbon or digestive. That was it. There you go. The answer is mini gingerbread men. There's some chocolate digestives in there, and Alan brought in fruity flapjack cookies. So there you go.
I kind of fancy some Donna meat now, though.
You'll have to see. If Alan will take you there for a date night after.
Chippy
tea.
Dave says, not putting the opposition to the sword could possibly cost us an automatic promotion spot. And he reckons the manager's had enough time to recruit a goal scorer. Well, we've covered that ground before. And Adam says, Wallace and Hartigan, both quiet talents. Not all singing and dancing, quiet quality.
Yeah, okay, and I like that. Quiet quality is good indeed. Let's touch upon the point of not finishing our chances, Nath. I think we're slightly unlucky at the minute, because I think you get a fully fit Oates and you partner him with a fully firing Swan. Let's not forget Swan's coming back from an illness as well. Mm. I think they'd be a very deadly pair, especially given, you know, the support from the likes of your mate Ollie Clark and Lapsley, Law, Maris as well.
Just got a screamer, by the way, you know my mate.
He did. Your best pal. Great save by the keeper. Lovely save by the goalkeeper. But on a serious point, you know, Aiken's good hold up man, but he's got to be on his game, and he wasn't on Saturday. And I think that's why a lot of fans are feeling the frustration a little bit. Sometimes that will unlock teams against a team like Crewe. I didn't think that would unlock teams, so that's probably why.
The Crewe defenders have got him parceled up, good style, and that's going to happen.
Mm.
You know, if the team's done its research and realises what a player's strength is, they'll try and neutralise that, and they did.
Mm. Yeah,
it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because obviously we are missing Oates, who you would say is our main striker, isn't he? You know, so it is a blow to not have him in there. And when you look at the rest of the players, obviously we've only just got Swan back from he's only been out for a short amount of time, but he's a young player. He's got to really sort of find his feet in League Two, so you got to offer him a bit of time to sort of adjust. But you look at the rest of the players who could go up there. You know, you like to Bowery, Hawkins, Aitkins. You've not got a great deal of pace there, so it's kind of they're all doing a similar job to some extent, and then you've got the likes of Lapsley, etc., chipping in. I think we said this last week, didn't we? It's, I'm not overly concerned at the moment whilst our midfielders are chipping in. Because we have had quite a few different goal scorers so far this, you know, already this season. So as long as that continues, it's not necessarily a massive issue. It's if those those goals dry up from them, you are going to start relying on the likes of more like Aiken, Swan, and the ones that are in at the moment. So it's not the end of the world at the moment, but we can't afford any more injuries at the same time.
I think you've got to give Clough a lot of credit though as well for Saturday, Alan, because we were trying to play our usual, what I call almost Clough reluctant style, which is that we're going to try and play around you, play through you, and I'm not going to change it. Then we get a reaction because they score, and he does change it because he chucks Hawkins up front, piles long throws in, and we try and get a little bit more physical. But what we do is we try and play both styles. What we'll do, if we'll try and get it out for a throw in and then go physical and try and get the ball into wide areas if we can, but also not be afraid to thread it through the middle. And that's why the two goals, if you look, were absolutely critical of and key of both styles. Law comes on, gets the ball to his feet and sees a pass through the eye of a needle and plays through Swan, and Swan reacts to it in the way that a player of his type does. Then the second goal, again, credit to Law. You won't see it on the highlights because it's in the build-up to it, but he closes down on halfway, wins the ball, drops his shoulder, opens space up, holds it off, and then spreads it wide, and we spread. And by that time, Hawkins has gone up. So we've not got the option of threading the ball through the middle, but we've seen that thing of, right, we now switch from one style to the other. We hold it, get it wide. Hawkins is in there, and we get the header, and we get the goal. And I think you've got to give Clough a lot of credit for saying, no, we try and play both ways. We be patient, and we find the openings rather than just be reluctant and just bang our heads against the wall.
Well, he said it times many in his interviews, hasn't he? You know, when you were doing them, and also when Steve-O does them, whoever's doing them, Jay, anybody, he'll tell you, everybody, each time, that he is not frightened to change it. You know, he will change it each and every time that it needs to. You know, if we go two down, he'll change it to something else. And point was proven, like we said on Saturday, because when Hawkins, he must have been shattered, I think.
He did, yeah.
He was shattered, coming up and down all the time, especially the last 20 minutes, because, you know, he's got no pace, but it was there when it mattered. And that's, you know, that's credit, same as you say, to Nigel Clough.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I know we've talked a little bit about him, Nath, but we'll just go back to Jason Law for a second whilst we're talking about those two goals, because as critical as Hawkins' bicycle kick was, Law comes on, he knows he's got to make an impact, he knows he's got an opportunity, and what a way to do it. And, you know, you often joke about the man of the match vote, it's always someone that starts, but he put himself right in contention, and all he did realistically was two things. One pass, one close down. For me, that showed an all-round midfielder. And I know we mentioned Stephen Quinn earlier, but you can all already see the qualities of Stephen Quinn starting to sweep into Jason Law.
Yeah, well, it was remembering he's still a pretty young player, so to come on the pitch at such a crucial time, you know, 1-0 down, or was it 1-0 down, weren't we? Because he played the ball for the first goal. So
yeah,
comes on, and a lot of players who have sort of come from the youth ranks, etc., into it, you know, you normally expect them maybe just to shy away a little bit, not really go in there and make a big difference, but he had a bit of maturity about it. You know, he came in, he was brave, played for that great ball to Swan. But like you said, I think it is on the highlights as well. So just at the very beginning, for the second goal, doing the hard work going back and getting the role going, you know, getting the move going, you saw a mixture of his play. So that's what I'm saying. Absolutely chuffed for him. I hope he gets more of an opportunity now.
Go on, Al.
It's not the first time he's done it, though, is it? I know it is this season, but we've seen it times many.
Yeah.
We've seen it five or six times that he's done it, you know, in past, previous, you know, before he was injured.
I remember on Boxing Day, when we had injuries and illnesses and we could barely fill a bench, he got a start that day and he was absolutely broke. We were fuming for about 4 weeks and he got dropped straight after, weren't we?
Yeah.
We couldn't understand that, could we?
The lad's got the talent. I just hope, like Nathan said, that he gets a bit of a run in the side, you know, whether it's off the bench, you know, keep coming off the bench and doing his stuff until he finally knocks on that door and says, look, give me a start.
The hardest thing for him is trying to get into our strongest area of the pitch, isn't it? When you think midfield, obviously, we've got so much talent there. It's going to be really tough for him when everyone is fully fit. But like I say, it's a bit of his opportunity now while there are a few missing. If he can get on that pitch and show his worth, hopefully he'll get his run that he deserves.
It's going to be interesting when Boateng's fit. Where are you going to put him? Because at the moment, I wouldn't want to disrupt the midfield.
No. And it's the same with Hartigan. I know he's only missed one game, but again, we've got so much quality in that area. That's why I feel sorry for Law, because we've had conversations at under 23 games with Gary Crosby, the assistant manager. We know how highly he rates him and how highly Clough rates him. But saying that, that doesn't translate to game time. And I know last season they were trying to send him out on loan, but then they kept him around to keep the numbers up and all things
I
like
think
that.
His biggest weakness is he's never played for Burton.
Yeah. No, it does tend to favour the players that he's, you know.
I mean, managers buy players and then want to make sure that people realise it was the right decision to buy them. And if there's any doubt, they'll play the players they've recruited. But he deserves his chance. He has done for the last couple of seasons. And this is the make or break season as far as I'm concerned.
For yeah.
Because if he doesn't break through and start holding the place down this year, he has to go.
Well, he's what, 21, 22 now?
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
That's a footballer's age. That's almost peak career. Not You're only one, two seasons off yeah. where you're hitting your peak.
But just going back to the bench, I mean, we've spoken before about the quality of our bench. All the players that came on Saturday all gave a good account of themselves in different ways. And in short periods of time, they changed the game. And I'm quite often critical of Clough because I think he sometimes leaves changes till too late in the game. It was forced on him on Saturday because of their goal. But he reacted very, very quickly when they did. And the changes were very useful.
Do you think, Alan, we're starting to see a different approach from Nigel Clough now that he knows he's got the five substitutes available to him? Because I think last year, because there was only three, he had a reluctance to make changes in case there was an injury. He was always sort of timid towards making a sub. But now he's got the five, we're starting to see that at certain points in the game, it will hit a certain minute and you know there's going to be a change coming.
Well, if you notice, I don't know whether you notice because a little bit, I don't know about Clive, but I'm a bit closer than yourself.
Yeah.
And you can often see him, you know, with the paper in his hand, you know, quite early on in the second half, you know, wondering, it's flapping about, wondering what to do, you know, where to make the change. But he was the only one that I know of that kept saying about these substitutes, saying that, you know, I think it's a damn good idea and we ought to keep it, and which it proved right because, you know, when we've needed them, they've come up to the four.
Said it time and time again. If there were five subs last season, we would be in League One now. No doubt about it. But again, it's one of those things. And I'm quite surprised actually to hear Clough talking that way because he's an older manager. You think that they'd want to go down the traditional routes. But actually, at a League Two level, with a squad like ours, having five subs is the difference between Law coming on, getting essentially, you know, playing a key part in two goals, and Law warming the bench thinking, where's my career going?
It wouldn't have been on with the old substitute
exactly.
numbers, that is a fact.
Mm.
Because he wasn't that high in the pecking order. Which is, you know, you can debate that one. We all think he's worth more of an exposure, but he wouldn't have come on last season's substitute rules.
Mm, absolutely. Right, let's talk about one final thing about the Crewe game and I'm going to move on to a different topic. My favourite topic of all, long throw-ins. I love a long throw-in. And against Crewe, we started to see it a little bit more come into the fore. And I think this season, slowly, we are starting to see when we get an attack in areas that we are utilising the long throw a little bit more. Not to the full effect, I'll give you that, but we are starting to see it a little bit more. Hewitt saying to Gordon, leave it, get in there, you drop back, Hawks, up you go. Same on the left-hand side, Mack has not got as long a throw as what Hewitt has, but Harbottle has got a bit ferocious long throw on him.
Fair to you, and Craig, so you has what's his name? The centre forward who comes on. I can't think Chris name now. I've got a brain freeze again.
Bowery?
Bowery. Have you seen Bowery's throw? It's quality. He's only done it a couple of times, but it is quality.
To be fair to Craig, he was calling all through the game for Harbottle to be used on that wing for throw-ins, and he did towards in the second half.
Yeah, he does. As well. The difference is there's two types of long throw. There's an attacking long throw and there's a defensive long throw, and Harbottle is utilised for defensive long throws, which I think is great because it gets us up the pitch and it gets us playing higher. But I just want to see him take one attacking throw because if you've got a wide pitch like ours at home or like it was at Crewe, we've got a bit of a run-up, it's effective. Hewitt's got a long throw which is effective if there's not a man standing in front of him. He struggled on Saturday because Crewe figured out after the first couple, put a man in front of him and try and stop the throw, because it psychologically means, yeah, am I going to drop it, et cetera, et cetera. But it works really well, especially if we work a little bit more on it. Hawkins goes up from the back, gets the flick, it's in the mix. You've got all those creative midfielders in there that will throw the bodies on it. I think it's a good weapon. We talk about finding a way to score goals. It's there for all to see, including Nathan. I love you.
All the players there, you mentioned that are good long throws. They're the kind of players that you also want in the box.
Yeah, that's half the problem, isn't it?
No, not really.
I did.
Back in the day, I used to have a bit of pace.
I do think it adds extra importance to a good long throw, because to be critical, we've not been particularly good at crosses.
We haven't.
We've wasted so many chances that we've created for ourselves by putting in inferior crosses into the attack. Long crosses are the particularly ones, firing them way over the other side of the pitch. And you need two strikers, one on the other person's shoulders to get some of them. But I think you made the point at the match, mixing it up is what really matters, because defenders don't like things being changed in front of them. And to have, crosses that are deep, crosses that are short, low, hard hit crosses, mix them up.
Yeah. Every time we get the ball in a wide area, we always look to hit long. We always look to hit a deep cross and hit it high and early. We don't take up, sometimes we don't take on the fullback. We don't get to the byline and whip a low ball in to put it in the mix. And against a team like Crewe, they've got big centre halves. They'll just head it away and they'll deal with it. And Aikins couldn't deal with it at all. I understand why you're putting high balls in there, but the only person that's effective at winning them is Hawkins, and he was at the other end of the pitch for the majority of them. Yeah. So
I think that you've got to give some credit to Crewe. Their back line was good.
Yeah.
It really was good. If they got a weakness, it was their attacking midfielders. They weren't that good. But I think they got a couple of injuries anyway.
Mm.
But all in all, a good day out, good crowd, and the only disappointment was Starbucks.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. Never go to Starbucks. Cam took us to a Starbucks once. We're on an away trip and said, all right, I'll try a hot chocolate from there. It was the worst hot chocolate I've ever tasted. Never trust a Fenton. No, Felton.
Phantom.
Phantom of the Cameron. There you go.
Hollyoaks bloke,
Yeah, that bloke from Hollyoaks. There you go. Right, let's move on to the next topic. So I think we almost sort of started going into it there in terms of what we're good at and what we're not good at. And it's a simple question is, are we at 100% yet in terms of where we can be in terms of dominating games? Because we're starting to get results, we're starting to win games, we're starting to put little runs together. But performance-wise, are we at 100% yet? Personally, I don't even think we're at 60. I think we're still a long way off at how good and how devastating Mansfield Town can be.
I agree with the same. I'd probably say we're 65 at the moment, but it all depends what the other team let you do. I mean, I know it's going quite a long way back now, but two matches against Northampton in the playoffs, Hawkins man at match both times. Darrell Clark thinks about it, watches the matches. Oh, we'll put it either side of him. It all depends what the other team, I'm a big believer, and if I were Nigel Clough, let them worry about Mansfield Town. Don't Mansfield Town worry about them to a certain degree. If they come at you and they're 2-0 up, well, you've got to change things. But let's go for the jugular straight away and plash it through like we have been doing. But no, I don't think we are full throttle yet.
I think we are quite guilty of underestimating teams, Clive, and almost pandering to their style. We always sort of see this first sort of 15 minutes or so of letting them work us out and us trying to work them out. For me, we should be on it from the start. And no matter where we are, we dominate it. Because you see, when we dominate play, we create chances.
Yeah, we're nowhere near 100%, in my opinion. We're competitive, otherwise we wouldn't be six in the league. But what we do not do as well as we could do, and I believe should do, is keep our foot on the throttle. Go back to the Gillingham game. We dominated that game. We controlled that game.
Mm.
We won by 2-0. It should have been more.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me like we settled a bit. And that's always dangerous with a Mansfield team. Although, to be fair, if we'd have still been playing that game, Gillingham wouldn't have scored a goal. But and I think I mentioned earlier that our quality of our crosses has not been good enough. And it showed you with the incisive direct cut-through pass from Law that was put away by Swan, that we could do with a bit more of that as well. Everything seems to be played out wide at the moment, and it'd be nice just to drive one or two forward.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, Nathan, you'll probably get this more than most because obviously you're relying, especially on the home games, to the AD commentary and things like that in terms of the way it's built up. You can build a picture up in your mind of how it's going and how it's mapping out. And a lot of it does seem to be going, like if I was a commentator, I'd be probably ripping my ear out because it's Gordon inside to Hewitt, finds Hawkins. Now it goes into Quinn and there's a lot of tippy-tappy passing, trying to be neat, trying to beat a record for the amount of passes we get before we shoot. Drive at players, find the passes, get that killer touch, have a little bit more instinct about us.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at both ways, you know. So a lot of times we are going maybe from one side to the other, but it's also moving the defence around. It's having that them creative players. So that's when you look at the midfields, you know, the likes of Lapsley, Maris, Clark, you know, Boateng when he's in. And then like Law did in the very little times on the pitch, they've got to unlock that defence. Sometimes take a bit of a risk and go a different way, you know, rather than trying to go on the outside and get the crosses in. Like Clive said, it haven't been pinpoint really for the majority of the season. We've got to try something a little bit different. You know, when you try and put a figure on it where we're at, you know, I'd probably say we're at around 70 for me, because we've played, you know, a fair few teams so far, and I don't feel like we've come up against anyone that's looked that great. And I sometimes think, is that because we are matching them pretty well, or is it a poor level of standard this year? A mixture of both. But I think if we can get a bit sharper in front of goal, so the likes of Gillingham, you would have put another couple in there. And if we can just sort out, we seem to still give away a bit of a, not an easy goal, but you know, we seem to have a expect to one goal against you, aka Crew, you dominate the game. But if you don't put it in the back of the net like we wasn't doing, they're going to get a chance. So they hit the post as well, so let's not forget that. So we just got to sharp up in a few areas, but I think there's not a great deal we need to do to get up to those levels.
His name is Clive Parkin. He's sat there with his phone. It's time to look at Facebook to find out who's having a comment or a moan. Yes, I am Alan Wilson.
Roger says, quality. Roger says, no, we're not at 100%. We play too much the same way. This is too predictable. Change it up a little. I think we've just said that. Adam says not 100%, but we've got fighting ourselves, scrapping some wins. That's good. That tenacity, that not being frightened to get yourself in there and hurting yourself. In the past, we've had players. Jacob Mellis is a good example. Didn't want to put his foot where it hurt. And we've got players, I think, now really care about the shirt they're wearing.
And that also says that they're playing for each other and playing for the manager.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You want a together squad, don't you? That's always, whenever you hear anybody about, say, what was the key for promotion when they've previously gone up, it's always about being together as a squad. And I think we have got that.
Just going back to your point about not coming up against any teams that are hugely better than us, that's true. The team that's running away at the moment, we should have beat them.
See, that one's a really difficult one for me, the Leyton Orient game, because there were so many factors which changed that. You play that on any other day. If you'd have played that Saturday, we would have beaten them. The conditions there were just ridiculous. It was so hot.
It was hot.
One goal was always going to win that game. But again, it's
you
that thing.
You get a penalty in 10 seconds.
Absolutely ridiculous. So it's,
I was reading their forum and their fans were saying how happy they are for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Wins and one draw. But they still can't understand how they got anything from the Mansfield game.
Yeah, that will be their anomaly. And I don't want that to come and bite us on the backside. You know, this time last year, we were sitting here starting to get concerned because we'd had a great start and then we started to hit that run and we were starting to lose players left, right and centre. And, you know, we hasn't touched wood looked like we've done that to too much of an extent. But my fear is when that inevitably does happen, because it is part and parcel of football, we will have a run where we won't get results and it won't go our way. Have we done enough to make sure we've got enough in the bank? It's almost like, you know, when you get your first job and you get your first pay packet, you've got all these things in your mind of what you want to go out and buy and what you want to go out and do with your first pay packet. But if you're not clever enough with your money by putting 100 quid here or 100 quid there, later on in life, when you haven't got a job, you've got no savings. And yeah, I think that's what Mansfield need to do a little bit. They need to just turn up the dial and make sure that they've got something in reserve for when that inevitable sticky patch does hit.
I'm going to say it will come. It usually does, but, you know, it might come a lot further down the line and we might be really sailing by then. And none of us have mentioned yet about the it put it in, Swan. It was a cracking finish, weren't it? You know, that's proper quality to chest it down and bang in bottom corner. You know, everybody says about the low pass, but he still had to finish it, and it was a quality finish.
Instinctive finisher. I think there's a lot to come from Will Swan this year.
I mean, he's got the confidence to have a go. There are players in the side that, having just come on, wouldn't have that confidence. Yeah. They'd be looking for a player or whatever to pass to.
Yeah.
He looked up, thought he stood a chance, and went for it.
I do think a lot of the players that have been here longer, under Clough's reign, have that hesitance about them. They think, oh, he wants us to pass it. He wants us to find that extra pass. Just have that little bit of selfishness. I think we lack that a little bit in front of goal. That's my only negative. The only two negatives I've got at the minute is we don't put decent enough balls in from set plays or from out wide. And we just are a little bit hesitant in front of goal, except for Ollie Clark, who whenever he sees the goal, he sees Nathan Edge in the top corner and thinks, I want to break his face with this shot. And you know what? I don't blame him.
That's what I told
him. He usually gets somewhere close there.
He does.
Well, we should be making sure that Nathan Edge
is
behind the goal, really.
Maybe we should, yeah.
Thankfully, I'm back right at the back of the top tier of the West End.
Dave suggests we need an out-and-out striker, a bit like, I will remember him, Ray Clark. I mean, yeah. What you need is a bloke whose only job is to score goals.
Yeah.
Or a fox in the box. We haven't got that. We haven't done for a while. I mean, we had, loan from Forest?
Walker. Yeah.
He was, but he was a bit selfish as well. And I don't think he was particularly team-spirited.
Yeah.
And I think the getting the balance right there. At the moment, we can score goals from all sorts of places.
If we get Oates on form, you know, remember sometimes last year when he went for a spell where he had a sight of goal and he absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know he can be one of those players that can be, you know, the selfish type, but not over selfish.
But at the same time, he can be neutralised by, you know, by a team that's done its homework. So I think we can't rely on him being the main goal scorer. And in fact, we're proving now we don't need him to be the main goal scorer. Mm. We want him back, don't get me wrong, because he's an asset. But we are coping quite nicely. And I think you've been saying for a while, sooner or later we're going to give somebody a good hiding, aren't we?
Yeah.
This Friday.
I totally agree with that.
I think we are, but I also think we aren't, because I think we'll get to 2-0 or 3-0 and go, all right, lads, feet up, kettle on, because that's how this Clough-sided play is to me at the minute. We're not ruthless enough.
Not a bad scoreline. Well, we got more. We didn't really tell the
plot. Anomaly.
Slightly disagree, because I think it all depends who you're playing against. If you get, you know, like we said earlier on about a quarter of an hour ago, we said about really going at them, you know, full throttle, going for the jugular to start with. When Mansfield Town, we've always said it, when Mansfield Town get an early goal, it's a different side. Mm. The confidence up, they'll play it, you'll play it nicely, you know, they'll pass and they'll go down the side and put it in, you know. Obviously, Hawkins is usually at the back now. But I do believe that somebody, and it could be Friday with Hartlepool, although Curley's gone in there now, hasn't he?
Yeah, we'll touch more upon them later on. I'm going to come to my next topic now. It's a game show which apparently Noel Edmonds is going to bring to Channel 4. It's called Lights or No Lights. I know we touched upon this a little bit on Friday, but since we're all together, let's have more of a discussion on it. Mainly because I had a phone call from somebody from BBC Radio 4, I think, today. Dean from the SSA passed it on to me because he couldn't do it. I didn't know. Just asking me about what my thoughts were on it. I don't think it was the answer which she was expecting, to be fair, and that's just why I've not had a call back. But let's get your guys' take on it, because it does beg a belief a little bit that we've moved a game from Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. against Hartlepool, to play it under the lights. I understand why, because of the numerical advantage with the fans and stuff. But then on the other hand, the club are putting out statements saying we're going to trial this energy thing. I actually think that the club need to have a little bit of balls here. And actually, if this is true, which I believe it is, come out and say the EFL have asked us and Warsaw to trial this. And we've said yes. Rather than it, because what the media is perceiving it to be at the minute, and this is exactly what this producer from the radio station wanted me to say today, was we're skint, we can't afford to pay the bills. Yeah. That's what they're angling. That's what the wider media are angling for at the minute. Yeah, and I'm not having it. And I could tell when we finished the phone call that she would not ring me back.
No. I'm going to say, But to be fair, you know, the Hartlepool match, that was brought forward a long while ago before all this sort of took place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a decision before the energy crisis became obvious.
I agree with that. It came a long way before that. It had already been moved forward.
That just brings me to my pet moan anyway. I don't think you should bugger around with fixtures. Once they're out, unless extreme circumstances, you should leave them alone. And I feel for the people that have bought season tickets to watch a Saturday game, to then have it moved to a Friday when they may be at working.
Mm. And
or
also,
they may travel from Skegness. Or
also,
whatever.
Those poor people that, you know, go and watch the kids on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing for me.
Can't get back, you know, and they've already bought season tickets because we've seen...
But I do get the idea of trying to cut down on the cost of floodlighting. I buy that, but if it's right to try that, they should try it on a league basis. All the teams... one weekend should try it or come back with data.
Well, Mansell seemed to get everything. We had the yellow ball.
Yeah.
Mansell were the first team to get the yellow ball, weren't they, Friday night against Newport.
Mm.
And we ended up winning 4 or 5 nil, I think.
Well, there we go. If we do these trials more often, we do one every week.
But, I agree with Craig. You know, if that's it, you know, come out and say they've asked us to trial it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going
to
do.
Stop pandering to the EFL because it's clearly an EFL choice.
You think they'll have asked us to do it?
100%. I think they've gone to us and what, because what, if you look
in
at...
In that case, Craig, I believe you, although I've not heard that, but you've got greater insight than I have. Why the hell isn't the media department at Mansfield Town Football Club explaining that?
Because the EFL would have asked them not to.
Yeah, hands are tied.
That's why the EFL would have said...
I mean, Caroline's getting a bit upset.
Caroline, yeah.
She believes it's reflecting badly on the club's financial...
Which goes back to the phone call I had today. And
she's saying, hang on, you can't accuse us of being penny pinchers because we're certainly not that.
Yeah.
At one end of the season, people are saying it's a money bags team. Yeah. And now they wanted to say it's a penny pinching team.
Well, that's a narrative. Really,
and that's the problem. We're doing something which, at the end of the day, isn't a make or break for a football club in Mansfield Town.
This is, my views on it are that the EFL have looked at the fixtures and looked at the geography between the two clubs and gone, will it impact on crowd? No, because it's what's Warsaw? An hour and a half?
Yeah.
An hour and a half tops. Right, so by moving it to 1 o'clock kickoff, it doesn't affect travel too much. All right, there'll be a small percentage that can't make it because of kids' football or whatever. But they've gone, they're two clubs who will get a good fan base anyway. It won't impact too much on the crowd. We'll give it a try. We'll ask them both. And what we'll do is we'll probably give them a little bit of money for doing it to compensate. But in response to that, in exchange of that, they've gone, oh, you can't say that it's us. You can't say that we've asked you to do it. That's a confidentiality thing. And then your hands are tied as a media person because you've got to explain why you've moved the kickoff. The best thing to do would have been not to explain it, but that's the whole point. The EFL want you to explain it. But what it does to the wider media who haven't thought about this or have an agenda, which all of these bigger places clearly have, they want to sell the story that we're trying to beat the energy crisis because we're cash strapped. The only reason someone would try and beat an energy crisis is because they haven't got the money. Those wider media outlets that are doing that are completely and utterly wrong. And I think it's the wrong thing to do, but they have the power to push that story whether we want them to or not. We can't prevent it.
Damage the club. It's embarrass the club, that's all.
But they will find a fan that's completely against it, and they will twist it.
Of course. I mean, your dad working on Saturday, he struggled to get to a 1 p.m. kickoff when he's got various work requirements that he's got to fulfil. And I think there are going to be people that, I mean, I just wonder whether the club has ever thought properly about its fan base. Do they? They made no attempt to ask the fans about this. It's obvious, but have they thought about what our crowd is? Complexion is. It's not just people coming from Ladybrook and Warsop and from Edwinstow or wherever. There are people travel a long time, a long way to come to a home game.
I'm a big fan of what you said before about having some form of consultation. All right, we've got a supporters association who's got, what, 500-600 members, but we've also got a season ticket base of, what, 4,500 who've all got email addresses who can all be sent a survey link which will tie into the whole data protection thing and said, would you fill in this? We're looking for feedback from our supporters. Would you take the time to fill in this Survey Monkey and be entered into a draw for hospitality? It costs the club nothing, but they get research. But again, I agree with you. I don't think the club think about this until it's too late. They'll think about it now because we've said it on a public forum. Other people have said it as well to them in emails and correspondence to the club. But I personally think, Nath, that it's always and the fans, the core fan base, when it comes to decisions like this, are an afterthought. And you go back to when we're in that room when David Sharp explained the movement of the Hartlepool. Was it a Hartlepool last year, wasn't it, that got moved?
Tranmere.
The movement of the game last year. They're hardly going to turn around and say no because it's a different environment that you're in. It's a smaller percentage.
Most of us enjoy the experience of a night match.
I don't.
Well, most of us do.
Yeah.
And I think there's something magical about watching football under floodlights. But, you know, and one of our contributors, Chris, has said, he's looking forward to the Warsaw game. If it's an overcast day, the lights are going to have to be on anyway.
Exactly.
This time of the year,
a downpour, isn't it?
Exactly.
So
nice one, Chris.
I think you know it does leave us open to ridicule.
Yeah.
And a club like ours shouldn't wish to have that ridicule against itself. It's got pride in what it's achieved, and quite rightly, we've come from the bog hole of the non-league and some shoddy criminal owners to having a proper set of owners prepared to put their own money into the club. The club's slowly developing in every area. And when all of a sudden, we look like penny pinchers.
Yeah, and I think
I'm not that bothered if people think we're skint. Because we have the opposite, really, for the last few years, where people think we've got loads of money, we're underachieving because we haven't got promotion, all this and that. You know, we're not skint. We know that, but
I'm going to come back at you when you finish.
But well, I know you're probably going to go.
No. I've got rationale behind it.
There was another point that I've literally completely forgot that.
Sorry. Hopefully, we'll try and remember.
Lights on or not,
My point is, I'm thinking from a cynical media header now, they've grabbed this little beacon, ironically, of light, which they can try and make brighter by saying that Mansfield Town are cash strapped. And what that does, it then cycles because what it does is, we've not got promoted for the last X amount of years and we've put X amount of money in. The club are now, what they'll be trying to think in their heads is, can we take this down a path of the club are penny pinching because they've not got promotion, they've chucked some X amount of money, but they're trying to get it back. The owners have moved to Portugal. Are they not interested? Are they looking to sell? They brought in David Shaw. Are they doing this? They're trying to take us down this road and become that club. There's always one every single season that they try and nitpick at and say this skin, and they try and drop the negatives in. And we've got to this great place as a support of a club. We're on the cusp of something good, and some arsehole somewhere with a hidden agenda to try and get clicks and clickbait is trying to put a negative spin on it. Fuck you.
Then I'll think
as a club, we have deliberately made ourselves high profile. Carolyn can take a lot of responsibility for that. She is a media person. She likes to be in front of the lights. She likes to be on film. She delights in it. And I think the club has, rightly or wrongly, got this reputation of being a money bags club. I don't think we are. I think we're well managed now. But we are richer than most in this league. I'm pretty sure of that. And it's just a shame. And that turd, Simon, what's his name, used to be chairman of...
Simon Jordan
on TalkSport this week, was having a real dig at Mansfield Town. He made us out to be a pathetic, poorly managed, withering little club.
I don't listen to talks, but I wish I had because I'd have been inclined to ring in.
It's a bit daft though because we have done it, but the last 3-4 weeks it's been suggested everywhere that club should try it. So why all of a sudden because we're doing it, we're made out to be?
As for being cash strapped, obviously we know different.
Yeah,
we know the real content of it. But like you said, it's similar because I mean, look how many times Nigel's actually bought the wages bill down. We know everything. Nigel's been bought in for that specific purpose. He's a damn good manager. He's done things at different places, Burton, Derby, Sheffield United, wherever, and he's bought the wage bill down to a decent level. So we know the truth.
Yeah.
I don't think it particularly matters what anybody else thinks.
Nathan says, why don't I try it? Well, what you try things to learn something. What are we going to learn by playing this game at 1 o'clock? We know already what the floodlights cost to put on to the penny. I could work it out with a piece of paper for them. They know.
Yeah, but I agree more with you. If you're going to do it, it should be a league-wide thing.
I think so. And they're going to have a rough guess at how many fans they might lose because of this decision. They put one against the other and says, we're better off. But, of course, what we've got this year is £4,500 season tickets in the bank.
Yeah,
so you can
which we've never
like
had before.
A lot of new ones as well. Yeah. Why piss them off?
Yeah, exactly.
To a certain extent as well.
And the thing on the back of that as well is, you know, talking about the whole league thing, I'm completely with you. It should be a whole league directive. They're looking at how it will impact crowds. Well, looking at Mansfield versus Walsall, which is an hour and a half, you know, ish journey, that doesn't impact at all. But it would impact if it was Barrow against Sutton United.
Well, don't you think if you were a Hartlepool fan travelling to see your team play at Mansfield Town, you'd be mightily unimpressed by the fixture being switched from a Saturday
100%.
To Friday night?
Yeah.
As Tranmere fans.
As I was when we went to Tranmere on the, you know, last year.
Yeah.
It was all right for me because I could make a weekend out of it and I was being paid to be there.
Yeah.
But if I was a fan this year, it utterly pissed me off because also it's a day off work, you know, and it doesn't fit into my calendar.
Don't both clubs have to agree.
That's why I'm saying the EFL will have approached it.
Yeah.
Wasn't it's not our decision. The EFL have definitely approached us and Warsaw.
About to agree,
yeah.
That's what I mean about
I'm pretty sure
one especially.
Well, it means we don't have to stay overnight. We can come travel down on the day. That saves us some money. And we're going to lose. A few of our fans won't be able to get collateral damage.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem in this world.
Sometimes
you've got
to look at
it,
though,
as collateral.
But 100%. You're also not going to please every fan member of the fan base. So we say about there does have to be more link between the club and the fans when it comes to getting feedback, etc. You know, the research that you mentioned earlier. But sometimes they have just got to bite the bullet in some instances and just go for it, because you're never going to please everyone. So you can also slightly see it from the club point of view. If they want to try something, they know they're not going to be 100% popular with it, but feel a need to do it, they've just got to go for it.
All I ask is that if my thought process is right, that it is the EFL, if it was the EFL, let's break the norm and let's not take responsibility for it as and make us look like mugs. Let's normalise coming out and saying we've been approached, we've agreed to try it. It's not us. That's it. We'll see what it is, and then that would have been fine for me.
It makes Mansfield Town
look like mugs.
A club that's been the first to blink.
Yeah.
In the face of the energy costs going up, and the irony is, we've just invested hundreds of thousands of pounds on solar panelling at the club.
Yeah.
So actually, energy impact is going to be much less for us.
Exactly. It's anyway, very very silly.
We've all had a grief on that.
Yes, we have. And apparently, you know, there's some national team which are playing later on. I couldn't really give a shit about, to be honest. And to be honest, the only person that said let's move this from 7:30 to 6:30, it was Cameron. He's not even fucking bothered to turn up. So
have you noticed his language again?
Yeah.
This happens when you move kickoff time.
Yeah, exactly. Moving times messes with people's brains.
Could I just apologise to people that are listening to it?
I basically want to see if Facebook's automated general captions will put the word fuck on screen. That's what I'm trying to figure out. So there you go. Right. Let's move very, very quickly on to... Four candles, was it? Hartlepool, we mentioned it earlier. Let's keep it brief because we've gone over the hour. It is the return of Mr. Curl, isn't it? Looking forward to seeing him.
Yes, he should be there. And, you know, he'll probably be hoping to put a spanner in the works, but I don't think he will. I fancy a good hiding for them Friday, to be honest.
Clive, your thoughts on it?
I think he will make some difference to that club, but not this quickly. I think we'll beat him easily.
Nathan?
Delighted it's a Friday night. No, sorry. it's one of these where we probably go in to expect to win, don't we? So the pressure's on us to a certain extent. But early goal, we should be all right.
Yeah, right. Let's turn our attentions to podcast predictions. Now, I was going to reveal the table for podcast predictions because Saturday's game should have been the final game of the month. But then some dickhead decided to move a game from 3 o'clock on a Saturday in 1 month to another month. So... we'll have to wait another week to find us there. So let's go with Nathan. Let's start with you for podcast predictions this week. Stags against Hartlepool. Outcome, scoreline and goal time, please.
Mansfield Town win. That's great. 4-0.
Go on.
You know, we can't score at the minute. Well, obviously we can, but 4-0 and first goal. You've got to get four in there. It's got to be an early one. So I'm going to go with 15.
Okay. Clive, going to come to you next.
3-0 win, 8th minute.
Oh, nice and easy. Alan, you're next.
I had a premonition about this. I was telling Nathan, come in. 3-0, 14.
3-0, 14th minute. I am going to go with the fact that we will concede a goal. And we'll go for 3-1. Yeah, always. And I will go with the 2nd minute. I think it's going to be a flying start. And do you know what?
Get ready.
It won't be a flying start. Get no points for this, but I'll say it anyway. It'll be a flying start for them. We'll go 1-0 down and then come back with a vengeance.
Here's a question for you. Did anybody predict 87th minute for Crew?
I can't tell you that. Say I don't know, and two, it's against the rules. You have to wait until the end of the month.
There's another prediction. 50th minute, floodlight failure.
That would be quite ironic, wouldn't it, given everything that's happening. Yes, crying. Absolutely. Before we let you go, of course, the Stags are on the road as well. A week on Saturday. Barrow away, looking forward to a long trip up there. Looking forward to it. 9 a.m. departure from the One Course Stadium, providing it stays at a 3 o'clock kickoff. Otherwise, it would be a 7 a.m.
We're going tonight, yeah.
If you want to go with the SSA, £20 for an Amber or Junior member, £25 for a Blue member, and £30 for a non-SSA member. The number you need to call or text is
07967 689597.
And that number again?
07967 689597.
So book yourself on the bus. We might even break out the bingo. How's about that?
Oh, biscuit bingo.
Biscuit bingo. Yes, let's bring biscuit bingo to the bus, because then we could have an Alan Wilson jingle, couldn't we?
Well, don't forget, it's not biscuits, it's doner kebab.
That is very, very true. Right. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks very much for joining us again. If you're off to watch that international crap, you're better off watching paint dry. We'll see you again soon. Don't know when. When are we? Again, throwing my schedule out. See, I go to London on Sunday, so there won't be a podcast on Sun before the Derby game, unless we record one on Saturday morning.
You know, they've moved Derby forward to Sunday.
Go away, Nathan. I'm going to punch Nathan Edge so he can't go to the chippy. Thanks for watching. Goodbye. Well, that's all we've got time for on this week's Mansfield Matters podcast. Thanks, as always, to the panel for joining me and drinking me out of tea and biscuits. Thanks to you guys at home as well for watching along on the live feed. And, of course, listening to the recorded version of this whenever you decide to listen to it. As always, you can play along with podcast predictions. The link that you need is in the description. Make sure that you do it 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff for your vote to count, especially if you want to get on that leaderboard before the end of the month. Who will be top? Will it still be me at the end of the month? I hope so. I genuinely, genuinely hope so. Should have cancelled the game at the end of last month, shouldn't I, when I was top? Ah, well. As always, you live and learn. Make sure that you give us a like on all our social media to keep up to date of when we're going to be next live as well. For now, though, this is the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because whether it's in the first minute or the 91st minute, Mansfield will always matter. Good night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.